God, I bet only a bold man would come up with a title like that and stand in front of you. Okay. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of a visit he made to a dismal veterans hospital. The gentleman who had been in confinement had been working on making a little model truck for his son, who could not come up and see him because of the requirements of the hospital. So if you can envision this, the man's up on the fifth floor in his window, looking out his window, and all of a sudden he sends the truck down via an orderly. So now you have the mother and son and orderly standing in front of the hospital, and the man is looking down. As the little boy starts to unwrap the gift, he starts to get quite excited. And when he sees that it is a beautiful little truck, he embraces it, he puts it to his bosom, and he hugs it. Now, while he is doing that, the father is up above trying to get his attention, saying, "Hey, I'm the one who has done this for you." Then the little boy, not seeing the dad up in the fifth floor window, walks over to the orderly, hugs the orderly, and says, "Thank you very much." And again, the dad's up frantically trying to get the little boy's attention, saying, "I'm the one who's made this for you, son." Finally, the mother and orderly pointed the little boy in the direction above. And as the little boy looks up, he just could only say, "Thank you, Daddy. Come home, Daddy. I love you, Daddy." Father had tears flowing down his cheeks. And you know, I thought, that's much like God, isn't it? He's blessed us so much. He has done so many wonderful things for us. And he's, if you will, in the fifth floor window, waving his arms frantically, saying, "I've done all these things for you." Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. As you're on sheathing your swords, let me pose this question to you, which I trust will stay with you throughout the sermon. Why should you regularly bless God? You know, when you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning for just that moment, what should you do? Should you bless God? Or how about at 6 a.m. before you go to work? Or how about 9 o'clock when you're on the beltway and you're not moving? You're inching up 295, going a grand total of about 2 miles an hour. Or Kenny and I, the other day, who had the privilege of coming over to the church for an appointment, and that train was coming. And, you know, it's one thing when a train's moving rapidly, but it has to make those turns, and I could have run faster than that train, right? Why should you bless God at those times? Ephesians chapter 1, let me begin reading in verse 3. It says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Let's pray. Father, truly you are to be blessed 24/7. Father, would you cultivate in us this morning a heart that wants to regularly bless you just because of who you are? Father, may your spirit work in each heart. May we sense his movement, his leading, his direction, the one who guides us in all truth. We ask that he would superintend this process this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me kick off this sermon with point number one. Bless God who blesses you through Superman. Isn't that a good point? Bless God who blesses you through Superman. Have you thought of the name Superman? Super is from the Latin, which means above. And how is it that you and I are blessed here today? We are blessed by the man who is above. And there truly is only one who is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the God-man, Jesus Christ, the one who enables all of us to be blessed abundantly. We are to bless him. Now, if repetition drives home the point, look at verse 3 with me, please. First of all, it says, "Blessed be." Blessed be. Speaking of God there. The word that's used for blessed, eulogetos, is mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. All 8 references are given concerning God. 7 of the 8 refer to God the Father. And then the 8th reference speaks about Jesus Christ, who in Romans chapter 9 and verse 5 is called, listen carefully, the eternally blessed God. Please understand this. God in his very nature is blessed. Because of who God is, he is inherently blessed. He is a blessed God. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 31 says this, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Now, if you have a God that is eternally blessed, what is that God desirous to do? Very simple. He wants to bless you. By virtue of his nature, because of who he is, he wants to bless you. And this is exactly what it says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You and me have been blessed by Almighty God. That is what he desires to do. And you might ask a question, when did my blessings begin? The moment you became a child of God. At the instant that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you got a new position. You got elevated to the right hand of the Father, and you sit with Jesus Christ. You became, at that moment, an heir of God. In other words, everything that God has, he's going to give to you in an inheritance. You are joint heirs with Christ. The moment that you believed, you were blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, did you catch it? 3 times in one verse, some form of the word bless. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, if you were part of the nation of Israel, your blessings were basically material. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14, when you walked with God and you were a lady, God says, I'm going to bless your womb. You can have children. And then for the nation as well, who walked with God, God was going to bless their crops so that they might be fruitful. And it even gets better. He says, I'm going to bless your finances. I'm going to bless your finances to the degree that you will be in a position to lend and not have to borrow. Well, it gives you a little bit of concern with our debt in the United States of America today, does it not? See, Israel, when they obeyed God, would be blessed materially. But in the New Testament, to the church, our blessings are predominantly spiritual. And may I say to you, the spiritual are better. They really are. Think about the blessings that we have. We are granted the riches of God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, that simply means that God has favored you because he gives you forgiveness of sins. Anybody here for the last 30 days would want to have all their sins pile up with no ability to have them forgiven? Would anyone want to go through that, even if you were here? It is God's favor that gives us the ability not only to have past sin being forgiven, present sin being forgiven, but also future sin. That's God's favor in your life. And he blesses you with that kind of favor. He not only blesses you with the riches of his grace, but also the riches of his glory. Twice the expression comes up in Ephesians. Once in chapter 1, here in verse 18, and then in chapter 3, in verse 16. Both in the prayers of Paul, that we are blessed with the riches of God's glory. What does that mean? Well, I want you to think about this. God's glory is the sum total of his attributes. God's glory speaks about who our God is. And when you come to understand who our God is, Ephesians chapter 3, and all that he has done for us, he, if you will, is a very deep God who imparts to us great riches. And when you get your arms around who he is, you don't want to stray. You don't want to go to the right. You don't want to go to the left because you understand that he wants to share, because of his glory, his blessings with us. Thirdly, may I say, he expresses to us the riches of his mercy. In chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3 in Ephesians, we have a very bleak picture given to you and me. Do you understand, spiritually, before you came to Christ, you were dead? Dead. physically alive, spiritually dead. And you know what's even worse? Satan had you on leash, and you didn't even know it. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is even now working in the sons or the children of disobedience. And see, as a result of us being unsaved, led by Satan, we were recipients of God's wrath. God was not pleased with us. But then as soon as you turn over to Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God. The idea is that God had intervened, and you know what he has shared with us? His mercy. The fact that you and I are here today means that God's riches in his mercy have been extended to us, or else our lives would be taken. Aren't you rich? Think about this. And then, fourthly, we have been granted to us unsearchable riches. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 that as an apostle he had been given the privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you understand how rich you are because you just know God? Yeah. Think about this. If I were to say to you, you know, in the back of the church parking lot, if you go 50 paces from the moment that you walk in, there is treasure that is hidden there. You know what would start to happen? Next thing you look back, and all of a sudden you would start to see the ushers just slowly start to disappear because they're closest to the door. And then you'd have everybody doing Michael Jackson's moonwalk. You know, they'd all be just, you know, rolling backwards. And then I'd be looking outside and all you'd hear is the digging going on, wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah. You got the idea? Why? Because you would think there are riches out back. This is what you need to understand. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 says that in Christ is found the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Why do I encourage you to wake up on Monday and to dig into your Bibles? Why do I say dig? Because in the Bible, you will find riches. You will find valuables. You will find a vast resource of who God is that he wants to impart to you that the scripture says is more important than silver and gold. We have been blessed, and if you were to start to search your Bibles tomorrow and say, I'm not going to do anything for the next 80 years, but I'm going to track down all my riches in Christ, at the end of 80 years, you would only scratch the surface. You would have only just begun. We are rich, and our God and his ways are not, if you will, traceable. You can't track them all down. But this is a pursuit that we should be on. So you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And where do these blessings come from? In the heavenly places. Think about that. In the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you are members of our church? Can I just see a show of hands? Do you remember what it talks about the pastor? It says that I'm the ex officio of every committee. I like that. It makes me sound really important. I'm not that important, but it made me sound important. That would mean if there were any committee in the church, I am, by my position, privileged to sit in on that committee and chair that committee. Now, I might not choose to show up at all committee meetings because, personally, I hate committee meetings, okay? That's just the truth of the matter. But I have the right to have a chair at the table at any time. Do you understand? You are not seated physically at God's right hand, but you have a chair there. Because of what Christ has done for you, you have the privilege at any time, if you will, to reach into those riches because positionally you are seated at the right hand of God. And everything that Christ is blessed with, he shares with you. And all we have to do is avail ourselves of those riches, of those blessings that have been provided for us. May I encourage you? Pursue them. See, our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 20. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, we are to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. We are so rich. And you know why we're rich? Because of our Superman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Catch these last two words, in Christ. It is Christ who makes all these things, all these riches available to us. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life makes available to each and every one of us his riches. In her book, Because He Lives,
How Christ Transforms Our Daily Life, author Elise Fitzpatrick writes, quote, "Just in case you're unaware, identity theft occurs when someone steals your name and other personal information for fraudulent use. Most of us are dismayed by this new cyber age crime, and we wouldn't assume that the theft of another person's identity is acceptable behavior. The surprising reality, however, is that Christians are, by definition, people who have someone else's identity. They are called Christians because they've taken the identity of someone else, the Christ. Not only have you been given an identity that you weren't born with or that you didn't earn the right to use, but you're invited to empty the checking account and use all the benefits this identity brings. This is so much better than identity theft. It is identity gift." End of quote. Think about it for a moment. God invites you to empty the checking account in heaven, all the riches that belong to you that will never run dry. Have you done that this past week? Have you latched on to God's mercy? Have you latched on to God's grace? Have you latched on to all that He makes available to you? This is why we pray. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need." Material possessions can't do that for you, but your spiritual blessings can. And I encourage you, number one, bless God who blesses you through Superman. Number two, bless God who's chosen you to model Him. I want you to ponder this with me. Before the foundation of the world, before there was day one, before there was any ground or any tree, before there was any man on planet Earth, God chose you for Himself. The middle voice of the verb chose, just as He's chosen us in Him, means that He has chose us for Himself. Can you think about that for a moment? God said, "I want you," and He chose you to be His child. Does that make you feel special? That the God of the universe who's created everything, the God of love, the God of holiness, the God of light, the God of justice said, "I want you." And He chose you for Himself. And there's an express purpose why He has chosen you. And by the way, I love what Spurgeon said about God choosing us before the foundation of the world. And maybe you can relate to this quote. "God certainly must have chose me before I came into this world, or He never would have done so afterwards." You know what I'm talking about? That's exactly right. What is the purpose of God's choosing of you and me? I want you to see it says very clearly, number one, that you might be holy. Understand this. God chose you to Himself that you might be like Him. That you might be like Him. The text says here that we should be holy. Paul includes himself in this. You know, and let me talk to the preachers for a moment, for Kenny and me here. This is so very important because God has demanded that we be holy men of God. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a notable woman, a gadola, a woman of wealth or prestige, and she meets Elisha. Remember, Elisha is the man of God. And on a regular basis, she compels Elisha to come and have a meal at her home. She understood that he was a man of God and wanted him just to have food because she cared for the man of God. She cared about the things of God. Over the course of time, Elisha must have come regularly as he passed by that way to share a meal with that family, the woman and her husband. And you know, later on it says in the very next verse, 2 Kings 4, 9, as she is speaking to her husband, she says, "This I now know, that he is a holy man of God." That is, as she spent time with Elisha, all she could say, "He's a holy man. He reflects the nature of his God." The preachers need to be holy men of God. But may I say this to you? You no less are called to be holy people. In Leviticus chapter 11, it says in verse 44, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." See, God is holy. What does that mean? He's separate from sin. You and I have also been separated from this world to God that we might reflect God to this world. Remember I talked about the catwalk. All of us are on the catwalk, and we are supposed to show people the holiness of God. And may I say, this is in all that you do. Everything that you do should reflect the holiness of God. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this, "Be holy in all your conduct." See, when you're on the road driving, what are we to be? Holy. I remember making a hospital visit many, many, many years ago down in Southern Maryland. And there was another gentleman who was with me in the room, and he had prayed. He was from another church and said, "Can I pray first because there are some other things I need to do and I need to get back up the road?" Well, yeah, he needed to get back up the road. I remember making the visit, praying with the person, coming back home, and all of a sudden this car rapidly goes zooming past me, and lo and behold, you know who it is? It was the gentleman who had just prayed in that hospital room. You know, I don't know about you, but I get tempted at times. You see those people with Christian bumper stickers? And they're ballistic when they're on the road. I always want to sneak up behind them and take off your Christian bumper sticker and just paste on atheist or something, right? Because we are to be holy in all our conduct. And ladies, you know, you hear of the sales out there, half price sale. The half price is referring to the price and not to the amount of clothing that you wear. Okay. Really important to keep that in mind because you are also on the catwalk. And you are reflecting the holiness of your God. This is so very important in the way we talk. What do people hear flow from our lips? Do they hear people that are gracious, that are controlled, that don't use the world's lingo? Every other, if you will, word with the Lord's name used in vain? How can we tolerate that? How can we watch things? And let me just say this, if I can add even a little bit more. We live in a tremendously technological age. People can watch things at the movies and on TV that can leave an impact in one's mind for weeks. And I'm always amazed that you will have Christians who will sit down and watch things that are vulgar, that are violent, that use the Lord's name in vain, that leave pictures and images in one's mind that just rattles your little world. And then you wonder why when you want to come to the Bible later on and read, and when you want to pray, why can't I do it? Because you've been so grossly impacted by this world system. May I say we are commanded to be holy in not just some, but all of our conduct. Our morality, our driving, our speech, everything should reflect a God that is holy. So we are told here that according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be, number one, holy, and notice number two, without blame before him in love. Can anyone come up to you and lay a charge at you? If anyone were to watch your life for the last 6 months, could they come before a jury and say, you know what? This person says that they are a Christian. He says he's a Christian. She says she's a Christian. But this is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what I witnessed. We are commanded here to be without blame. Let me explain this to you. In the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3, this word was used of an animal sacrifice that was without a blemish. You are not to sacrifice, if you will, a blind animal or a lame animal. It's to be a whole. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, remember him? In John chapter 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist sees it, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 2 Corinthians 5 puts it this way in verse 21. "The one who knew no sin became sin for you and me." The perfect sinless sacrifice, Jesus Christ, died for us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself," and here are your words, "without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." You and I are commanded to live blamelessly before God. That we live in such a way that no one can come up to us and go, "Oh, there's your blemish, there's your mark." Now, in reality, we're not perfect, so we have to confess our sin. And when we do what's wrong, quickly we are to confess our sin and get back on the path of righteousness, right? So we're to be holy and without blame before him. And notice your next two words, everybody, in love. Now, if some of you have an NIV, a New International Version, the words in love goes with verse 5. There it's speaking about in love that God had predestined you. Okay? So the translators in the NIV say the words in love go with God's predestination. But now, if you will, the words in love in our text, if you have a New King James or a King James, goes at the end of verse 4. That we are to be holy and without blame before him in love. Speaking about our human love. And I ask you a question. Where do they go? How do those words fit? Well, I can tell you this. The other five uses of those two words in love is always used of human love. I think it is talking about God's purpose in our life to be holy and without blame before him in human love. In other words, we love God so much, we are choosing to be holy. We are choosing to lead blameless lives. So point number one, bless God who blesses you through Superman. Number two, bless God who's chosen you to model him. And in number three, bless God who adopts and favors you. You've been adopted, and God favors you. That's a privilege. Let's talk about this. Verse 5 says, in words that people get all befuddled over, having predestinated us. What is predestination? Very simply, praorizo means to mark out ahead of time. Whenever you hear the word predestination, think of God's purpose. What is God's purpose in marking you out ahead of time for him? It's real simple. Let me give it to you. It's in Romans 8 and verse 29. It says he's also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Let me put it this way. You've been marked out ahead of time that you might imitate Jesus Christ. That's a good purpose, isn't it? You're, if you will, marked out. You have been predestined that as you go down this catwalk, as you are in life, that you are imitating and becoming like Jesus Christ in everything that you do. Is that your heart's desire today? Do you want to reflect Jesus Christ in everything that you do? That is what you have been designed to do. And that is why your lives sometimes are so frustrating. Because you're working, if you will, you're sawing against the grain. Because you are trying to be an individual who is partially obedient. Or you are an individual who goes, you know, I want to be like Christ somewhat, but not totally. It'll never work. It'll never work. We are told in Romans chapter 12 to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds as you take the word of God and you, if you will, flood it in your minds and you think about it. God moves us to imitate Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God is all about. That is what we are commanded to be. We've been predestined, and I want you to see in verse 5, and I love this, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Paul most likely is talking about Roman adoption. They would take a male child and put that child within a Roman family. And you know what happens at that moment? That child has all the perks, all the benefits of being in that Roman family. That's happened to you. You walked according to the course of this world. You were spiritually dead. And God took you and put you in his family. And he says, now that you're in my family, all the benefits of being in my family are granted to you. Isn't that great? Isn't it wonderful to be in the family of God, to have all these brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be able to enjoy these things and know that we're going to have them for all of eternity? Marty Johnson was a product of two college students who had a brief fling, but were not ready for the responsibility of bringing up a boy. So they put him up for adoption, and he was reared in a loving home in Minnesota. As Marty got older, he started to track down his biological parents. And there he found who his mom was. And he started to correspond with her. And then later on, he got this letter in the mail one day, quote, "Welcome to the Ogeeke dynasty. You come from a noble and prestigious family." The letter went on to explain that Johnson was the next in line to inherit a position of village chief from his biological father, John Ogeeke, the current chief of Abo Village in Nigeria. Can you imagine Johnson flying to Nigeria, never knowing his biological parents, and there are all these nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles.
There, too, was his dad, and basically he was next in line to inherit a dynasty. That's you. That's me. We were headed on a course of hell. Do you got it? Hell. We were destined to spend our eternity in the lake of fire. But God in his mercy has intervened by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin, for my sin, that we might be chosen by him, that we might be placed into the family of God, that we might be given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you start to understand your riches? And now as you contemplate and you get your arms around all these riches, what do we have to do? I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to bless God. Instead of running after the ways of this world, you turn around and you say, I've got to bless God. He loves me so much that he's placed me in his family. And listen to me, dear friends, represent your father well. When you think about who your father is that no one can see, per se, they can only see him through you. And you are to be the example. You are to be the model. You are to be the individuals who show people God's love, his holiness, his mercy. You are the ones who have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Live like you're rich. Let people see what you have. Shine to the degree that they'll see your life and say, I want what he has. I want what she has, because that person has something that I definitely don't have. You're rich. Please understand your riches. Avail yourselves of the vast resources that Almighty God makes available to you. So what does verse 6 conclude with? Praise God. It really does. Of his grace. God has favored you. So praise him. Please understand that he has made you accepted. And it says in the Greek, and I love this, he has bestowed favor upon you. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I deserve to wake up tomorrow and to be clueless about life. I deserve to wake up tomorrow being just like every other unsaved person on planet Earth who's running around with no purpose in life, just headed to hell, having a party along the way. That's what I deserve. And you deserve the same thing. And yet God in his favor gives us eternal life. He brings us into his family. He says, now you're part of the family. Start to live like a child of God. May the world see that we understand how valuable it is to be adopted by a loving God who has made us accepted. And how have we been accepted? It's by Superman. In his beloved. Who's the beloved? Remember the Father? When Jesus was baptized and a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Do you got it? Got the concept? Got what God's done for you? How can we leave here today and say, I'm just going to follow the dictates of my heart? That's what the fool does. How can you walk out of the building here today and go, you know what, I'm going to follow every rabbit trail that this world has to offer me? How can we do that? Do you understand how much God loves you and how much he has favored you and everything he's done for you? And this is what I want to say, bless him 24/7. When you wake up, when you're on the highway, when you're sitting down at a meal, when you're with your family, when you're with friends, when you're at work, you bless him because he has blessed you abundantly through his son, Jesus Christ. He's also put you on the catwalk that now you can model him wherever you go. I can't think of a greater privilege than modeling Christ to the world. He wasn't ashamed to identify with me. He left glory. He left perfect fellowship to come down to a world that his own brothers didn't believe on him. He came down here in order to be accused of being born in fornication. He came down here and was spit upon. And then he was scourged and he was beat to a pulp. And at that point, the sin of the world was placed upon him. And even he has to cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Think about the darkness for 3 hours. That hovered over the Son as he hung there on that cross with your sin, not his own sin, your sin and my sin upon him. How can we walk out these doors and go, I'm going to do it my way? Understand your blessings. Understand who your Father is. Understand all that he's done for you. And can I say, model him? And you've been adopted. Oh, What a great thing to be adopted, for someone to embrace you and say, I love you. Everything I'm blessed with, I'm going to share with you. And we don't even begin to understand all of our blessings that we have from this loving God who favors us. Let's go out and model them well today. Would you purpose that in your hearts with me? To go out and model them well. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Father, I remember what it was like being unsaved. I remember being on a short leash and Satan tugging and pulling and telling me which way to go. I remember so well. I remember the depression. I remember the emptiness. I remember the loneliness. I remember walking around with any purpose in life whatsoever. But you intervened, brought the gospel to me, gave me that wonderful news that Jesus not only died for my sin, but he was raised from the dead. And Father, there at age 15 and a half, you adopted me. You put me in your family. And then, Lord, later on called me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Father, how rich can one be? And Father, for my dear friends that are here today, you've done so much for them. They each have their own story. They each have had their own tug of war, but Father, the reality is today, may they understand how blessed they are. And Lord, may they choose right now in the quietness of their hearts to bow before you, to say, Lord, thank you for the blessings that I have. May I avail myself of them 24/7. Help our people to enjoy your grace, your love, and your mercy. Father, may they just praise you because you chose them for yourself, that they might be holy and without blame before you in love. Father, may they leave here today reflecting a holy God. And then finally, Lord, help each one to leave here today truly with the comprehension that they have been adopted, that they have been placed supernaturally into the family of God, and they are never going to be kicked out of that family. Father, help them to enjoy not only the new relationship with you, but their brothers and sisters, and if you will, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. Lord, you've done great things for us in Christ, and I thank you, as we're going to study in the future, how you've taken down that middle wall partition. I thank you that you can enable black and white and Hispanic and Asian to be one, to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and how great that is. Help us to live, Father, all these blessings that the world might see. Christ in us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.